Saluti, I'm Laura Valtorta. Welcome to episode 10 of my podcast, B is for Bisexual. This story is called Monopoly, and it's an ode to the gas station chicken place down the street where there is excellent people watching and train tracks very close by. Here we will meet characters Jory, Cayenne, and Albert. I love them all. Joining us in the reading are Marco, a computer scientist, and Dante, a musician. Don't forget to watch my films, including Bermuda and Disability, on channels such as Amazon Prime, Filmocracy, and Tubi. This collection of short stories, B is for Bisexual, is available for purchase on Kindle. A shout out to listeners in Texas, Great Britain, Germany, Canada, South Carolina, Alabama, Utah, and New York, and now Monopoly. The triangle began over games. Every Saturday afternoon, Albert and Cayenne came over to Jory's house to play Monopoly, poker, gin rummy, chess, and Settlers of Catan. The games depended on their mood and whatever they could find on sale at Second and Charles. Sometimes they just played Othello or checkers. Albert was retired early, forced out from S&M Railroad, where Jory was a track supervisor. Train workers. Even when drunk or addicted, they believed that nobody else could do the work that they performed. Jory was not addicted to any substance, but she loved the railroad, and she practically worshipped Albert, who had trained her, even when she knew that Albert had problems. Cayenne worked at the Quick Mart, making fried chicken and fish sandwiches. She was an immigrant from Iran with a bowl haircut of straight black hair. The magical thing about Jory's house was that it stood next to the train tracks. There was the railroad, the street, and Jory's front yard, her yellow house, her kitchen garden in back, a rusted swing set, and then acres and acres of woods. Jory had saved her money for 10 years before purchasing this three-bedroom, two-bath wonder with its kitchen and living room open area in the middle, with two guest bedrooms on one side and the master on the other. She'd bought out old Mr. Jameson as soon as he went to Florida and then redid the floors in smooth cement. You could roller skate on them. The red granite countertops in the kitchen were her one extravagance. Before purchasing the house, she'd rented a room from Albert, who drank up most of his money and lived in a trailer. Sometimes they slept together and had traditional sex, but Albert was mostly too drunk to think about anybody but himself. When his thing didn't work, he became angry.
"You're a sellout,"
he told Jory when she bought the house. Jory ignored him and moved out with her two suitcases of clothing. They remained best friends because they loved each other. The idea for game night as a trio came to Albert all of a sudden one day when they were buying fried chicken at the Quick Mart. Albert was helping her paint the guest room celery green.
"If I have to spend all my Saturday painting,"
he declared in a loud voice, smiling at Cayenne, who was placing pieces of chicken in a carryout bag,
"I want to have a party afterwards. Maybe around 4 p.m.
"That's when I get off from work," said Cayenne, unsmiling.
"Come on over to Jory's house, darling,"
said Albert.
"She lives right around the corner."
Jory looked back and forth from Albert to Cayenne. Albert was grinning at her. Declining or canceling this invitation would not be polite.
"You know, it's my house he's inviting you to,"
she said.
"I'll buy the wine and beer."
She also picked up cases of ginger ale and La Croix water.
"I live at 127 Pine Nut,"
she told Cayenne.
"You are welcome to join us for board games. Bring some peanuts or food."
Cayenne did not smile. Jory did not smile. Cayenne nodded. Jory swung around to leave the Quick Mart. Albert was smiling broadly.
Why did you invite her?
Jory demanded. They were back at her house, painting the guest bedroom. The result would be so beautiful, Jory could not believe it. She was 50 years old, and she owned her own house. This was something her parents had never afforded. Her own bedroom was lemon yellow, and they had painted it the weekend before.
That Kai is good looking,
said Albert.
I need some excitement in my life.
Jory stared at Albert, who was sitting down and squashing her red beanbag chair instead of painting. He was trying to juggle a hacky sack with his feet.
Hey, Albert, why don't you put down that beanbag and help me paint this room?
Albert stared at Jory.
You're just sore because I invited another woman to our party. You're jealous.
I am not jealous,
said Jory, even though she was green with it.
I do not know how to communicate with that guy. Her English is bad.
Her English is better than yours,
said Albert.
And she's got that exotic look.
She's just a fat bitch in a t-shirt,
said Jory.
Well, she's welcome to my house any day. I ain't against foreigners.
Whenever Jory used the word ain't, she reminded herself of her hateful mother and father, who couldn't even stand to look at a Catholic, much less somebody from a Muslim country. Jory finished painting, and they set up the living room for Monopoly. All Jory had by way of furniture was a card table and four rickety chairs.
Don't know if these will hold, you two large women,
said Albert. He made a wide squeezing motion with both hands, as if holding somebody's big ass. He himself was emaciated from alcohol. He had no ass to speak of.
Why don't you buy me a dinette set?
Suggested Jory.
Something sturdy, since you're over at my house so much. I think I need a housewarming gift.
Shut up,
said Albert.
I brought the beer.
Jory decided from that moment that all she would drink was wine, and she would not get drunk. Two glasses of Chardonnay, and that would be it. If Albert got drunk, she planned to film his loud nastiness on her phone and post it on YouTube. Albert put out bowls of chips, salsa, and mixed nuts without consulting Jory or asking for permission. The man thought he owned the place. At 4:15 p.m., Cayenne knocked on the front door. She was wearing her t-shirt from work, greasy and sweaty, and carrying leftover fried chicken and fish from the Quick Mart. Somehow, with her carrying it, the food looked more exotic than disgusting. She was also dangling a carton of coconut-flavored La Croix water. I do not drink alcohol, she said, so I bring water. This would be a real blow to Albert, a female teetotaler.
Well, come on in,
said Jory. Even though she hated this woman, she led her with a flourish into the living room, proud of her house.
This is the place I just bought. Don't be surprised with the lack of furniture. It's like a rat's nest in here.
Very beautiful, said Cayenne, and she sounded honest. I live at the house of my uncle and imam. One bedroom for me. He's a religious man. I am not.
That sounds awful,
said Jory. I'm saving money, said Cayenne, for a house like this. In your dreams, thought Jory, since you work at the Quick Mart. But she could see that Cayenne had a determined flash in her eyes. They put the chicken, fish, beer, water, and potato salad on the card table. For several minutes, they ate in silence with the hunger of people who have been painting and cashiering on their feet all day. Jory brought out slices of homemade carrot cake she had made the week before.
What's it like in Iran?
She asked Cayenne. According to Albert, Cayenne had only been in the U.S. for 3 years. Government does nothing, said Cayenne. They put people in jail for saying the truth. Women cover their heads, and the families force them to marry some hairy guy with bad teeth. I do not want that. Jory nodded. She thought about her own mother, who had wanted her to marry a plumber named Buddy. That was her mother's big dream for her. Instead, Jory had walked out and joined the railroad.
I ain't too hairy,
said Albert. You too old, said Cayenne.
Whoa,
said Jory.
Why not say what you think?
I do, said Cayenne. This explained why I stay in jail for 18 months in Iran. They beat me, cut my hair. Albert and Jory looked at each other. Jory, who had a big mop of curly hair, suddenly felt very glad she was free and living in the United States. She considered that in Iran, a person like Albert would probably be dead, or else he would be sober and cranky, controlling the people around him.
Why don't we play a game?
Said Jory.
Cayenne, do you know how to play Monopoly?
Cayenne nodded her head, no.
We can teach you,
said Albert. No surprise that Cayenne turned out to be a master at Monopoly. She bought all the real estate and added tons of houses. She ended up with 3 times the money of either of them.
It's the immigrant way,
said Jory.
If they had a drinking contest on Monopoly, I'd be the winner, hands down,
said Albert. He did not like losing. The next Saturday, Cayenne showed up with Iranian food, including doogh, that looked like a bun of bird rice and expensive saffron, and kebabs of grilled meat and green peppers. She was wearing a blue and yellow shirt and tight jeans that showed her knees knocking together.
Mmm, that looks delicious,
said Jory enthusiastically, taking the Iranian food. But she did not know what she was talking about.
Can I put it in the microwave?
Cayenne nodded. My auntie make these. I am not a good cook. Albert showed up with his hair greasy and flat. He brought a 6-pack of Bud Light.
You look awful,
said Jory.
I can't sleep,
said Albert.
Bad dreams.
Maybe you should buy a house for you, said Cayenne, and shower. Albert looked down at the cement floor. Jory knew he had blown all his weekly retirement money on alcohol. That was the pattern of his life.
I can see why they put you in jail for 18 months,
said Albert, who refused to admit weakness or defeat.
You got a mouth on you.
They played a different game this time, Settlers of Catan. Again, Cayenne won because she bought up every piece of land and every house she could.
You know, you get the hang of things real quick,
said Jory.
She's Americanized already,
said Albert. Jory wondered which of them would have sex with Cayenne first. She decided it would be her.
Albert, you look like you could use some sleep,
said Jory.
Why don't you go home now and wash your hair?
Albert stood up unsteadily.
Patrick is about to kick me and my trailer off his land. I'll be homeless.
Do you need a loan?
Jory asked him automatically. This was a ritual they went through every month.
I can give you 50.
Better make it 100,
said Albert. He took the cash and staggered out to his motorcycle. Can he drive okay, said Cayenne. Not kill anybody?
He's drunk all the time. We're lucky he's not driving a train anymore.
The women washed the dishes in the sink and talked about the customers at Quick Mart. Nobody wear a COVID mask, said Cayenne.
Because they're Dump supporters. They voted for President Dump.
He's not as bad as our religious leaders in Iran, said Cayenne. At least I'm not put in jail here for going to bed with women. Jory stared at Cayenne, who was driving the silverware and smiling.
So how did you find out you were gay?
Asked Jory. Easy. My aunt was gay. She just got married because her family forced her, and then she was loving the servant girl. Her husband beat her. Jory considered this.
Huh, I actually have an aunt who's lesbian.
Everybody do, said Cayenne. Everybody in the world have an aunt who like women. Let me see your bedroom. Jory had just bought a black mom platform bed from IKEA with an extra firm mattress. Nice bed, said Cayenne. But instead she was looking at Jory, who was removing her t-shirt. They had sex easily, very straightforward and French, like it was not such a dramatic thing, and it would be natural to smoke a cigarette afterwards. We are lucky here, said Cayenne. No police to arrest us. Jory wondered what all of this meant. Living in America meant she had so many choices, maybe too many.
When I'm with Albert, I love that experience,
said Jory.
The few times a year when he isn't plastered.
So don't worry about Albert, said Cayenne. Enjoy, Albert. Nobody is getting married here. Joy lay back in her bed with her hands, cradling her head, and thought about this. Truly, they were free. This was Jory's house. She owned it. She had no responsibilities other than to herself, maybe. We got to get him to stop drinking, said Cayenne. He is our friend. He reached out and introduced us at the store. And so thus began the campaign of sobering Albert up, convincing him that spending a week or even 3 days without alcohol would improve his life. If he was good, they took him to the zoo on Mondays. They treated him to Chinese takeout on Saturdays. They let him win at Monopoly. Albert began to gain weight.
My doctor said I got to quit drinking entirely,
said Albert,
or I'll blow up my liver.
That's not going to be possible for you,
said Jory.
The idea is to reduce.
She had a brother, Zandy, who ruined everybody's life because their mother was a strict Methodist. Jory was convinced that allowing Zandy to drink on weekends but stay dry the rest of the week would have saved his life. Instead, Zandy jumped off a bridge when he turned 30.
I miss my brother,
Jory told Albert and Cayenne.
But mainly I miss the normal childhood he stole from us. Our house was never calm once Zandy learned how to drive.
Your parents tried to save him,
said Albert.
Maybe he was impossible to save.
Jory thought she knew the answers. Now that Albert was drinking less, staying sober 3 days out of the week, he was ready to have sex. Jory tried it one Thursday night, but could not quit thinking about Cayenne. She had fleeting thoughts of Albert in his glory days. Fatter, more muscular. A 100 cubic inch motorcycle gangster wearing a bandana and a ponytail. Those days were 10 years gone.
That kind of sex ain't for me,
she told Albert at 9 p.m. and walked out of his trailer. Albert did not try to stop her because he was asleep. That Saturday, she swept the living room carefully and put on her roller skates. She played Back Up Off Me by Dej Loaf and skated around the living room. Then she packed a couple of pumpkins from her garden and put them on the front porch. It was almost Halloween. Cayenne showed up at 4:15 wearing a pumpkin sweatshirt that Jory recognized from the Quick Mart. They ate fish sandwiches and played a hand of gin rummy. No Albert. Maybe he is sick or dead, said Cayenne. Did you call him?
I've been blowing up his cell phone with text messages and voicemail,
said Jory.
No answer.
I'm very worried, said Cayenne. Around 8 p.m., they got a call from Albert. He was admitted to Park Ridge Hospital for internal bleeding.
My dog says I drink too much,
Albert said. His voice was croaky.
Well, give it up for medical genius,
said Jory.
I could have told you that. I hate alcohol,
she told Cayenne once Albert hung up. Maybe Muslims got something right, said Cayenne. Jory thought about whack-a-mole and how a religion that forced people off the evils of alcohol could also put you in jail for private sex acts.
Why can't Albert be smarter?
Jory whined.
We used to have a good time shooting squirrels and riding his motorcycle. Once we drove to North Carolina to pick apples. He was a fun guy when he wasn't drinking.
Cayenne considered this. People drink alcohol because maybe people got to die. Otherwise, no room.
You sound like Star Trek,
said Jory.
The old TV show.
Once they finished the game of Monopoly, with Jory winning for once, they fixed a plate of potato salad and fried fish sandwich to take to Albert at the hospital. It was not a journey they relished taking, but the hospital parking lot was nearly empty due to fears about COVID. Most of the waiting relatives stayed in their cars with the engines running. The waiting room was nearly empty.
Maybe I should go in by myself,
said Jory. No, I need to see Albert. The two of them waited awkwardly at the front desk, both of them wearing black masks. Are you two relatives of Albert Beck? The receptionist asked.
Yes,
said Jory.
I'm his niece, and this is our good friend Kayan Javidian.
After filling out a questionnaire denying cough, sore throat, and diarrhea, they had their temperatures taken. A nurse led them to the back of the hospital. Jory was carrying two Tupperware containers of food. Albert looked depressed, lying flat on his back in a greenish-white room. He was alone in the room, no roommate.
Thank God,
said Albert when he saw them.
Did you bring me some cigarettes? Beer?
No way, Jose,
said Jory.
We've got game night food and a deck of cards for you.
Albert did not look disappointed. They played a couple of hands of gin rummy. Albert's hand was shaking so hard he could barely hold the cards, but he had a smile on his face.
They're gonna keep me here for a week,
he said.
Lucky I got Medicare.
Medical bills will wipe you out anyway.
I got nothing for them to take,
said Albert. Where do you live when you get out of here? Asked Cayenne.
Honey, I'm moving in with you.
Jory and Cayenne looked at each other.
You got that whole basement with a toilet and sink,
Albert pointed out.
I can pay you $500 a month, plus food stamps. Hell, if I don't drink up the money, you can have it.
We'll think about it,
said Jory. On the way home, they talked about the benefits of Albert and the deficits. If he drink alcohol, said Cayenne, he get crazy.
And you know he's going to drink alcohol,
said Jory.
Maybe I could have his disability benefits turned over to me.
Is that possible? Asked Cayenne.
Very possible,
said Jory.
I was the payee for my dad before he passed away. Albert just has to agree to it.
If he not agree, said Cayenne, he have no place to live.
That's going to have to be his choice,
said Jory. She thought about how wonderful it was and how beautiful the world looked when each person had a choice. Jory could drink one glass of wine and then stop. She could paint her bedroom yellow. Cayenne had the opportunity to love women if she chose, or walk around with her head uncovered. It was all about freedom. The end.